This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. Today I'm going to have kind of a special broadcast. I want to share with you a new interview that was published. It is being published by a Swedish magazine, a fine magazine, Nordisk Frihet, and it was done by a fine journalist, Charlotte, and I don't know if I can pronounce her name properly, Thorbjørnsson. I think I have it correctly. And she has spent some time in South Africa. She has obviously been a very fine activist for the cause of the freedom and the survival of the Swedish people. And she did an interview with me a while back, and now this is being published by their very fine magazine. We have a link for it on davidduke.com, and I welcome all of you to go to that link. Let me share the article with you, and I'm just going to read the article as she wrote the introduction and the questions, and I will respond with my answers as well. Again, a lot of people listen to my program. They like to listen in their car. They like to hear things in audio fashion. I like it, too, because I read very fast, and I read for ideas. I guess I've always been a speed reader, and that's the only way I could have read as many books that I have in my life and learned as much as I could have. But at the same time, I love to occasionally listen to ideas, because listening is a slower process than reading. And in that process, you have a chance to think. In fact, I really believe in some ways, in terms of our thought processes, television was a step down from radio. Radio dramas, if you listen to a radio drama, like the old-time dramas from old NBC and CBS radio, and they have some, you can find them on the Internet, by the way, you can download free, your imagination soars. You can picture the scene, you create the scene, and also you have a chance to think about things. And so those of you who are listening in your car, those of you listening now live, and those of you who want to take this and put it in their iPod or their MP3 player, I think that you'll get something out of this article, and you'll get some ideas how to address some of these issues. Here's the piece. And this is, again, by Charlotte Thorbjørnsson. I think that's the way I pronounce it, but I tell you what, since I was in so many of those very loud helicopters in Laos, at the end of Vietnam War, my hearing's not been that good, and I just don't have the tones that I used to have, and it causes me some problems with the pronunciation. I can work on it, but it's very difficult. I don't have a good ear for that, and that's just the realities of life, and I think it's actually a physical problem because my hearing isn't all that great. Luckily, I'm smart enough that I can pretty much make out what people say and understand them. I can put two and two together, but at the same time, I just don't have a good ear for pronunciation. Anyway, let's go on into the article. A well-known foreign guest who attended the Nordic Festival in the late summer of 2005 was the author and great friend of Sweden, David Duke from the USA. David Duke has become known for being a much appreciated speaker at nationalist gatherings in our country ever since the first educational tour of the Nordic Alliance in 2005, something that's also been noticed by the media faithful to the regime of Sweden. But not because of his academic success, his authorship, or his commitment to the continued survival of the European people. Again, that's there may be something lost in the translation. They translated this in English, and we will let it go at that. Instead, media faithful to the regime depict David Duke as, quote, notorious, quote, a racist, quote, extremist, in articles just as imaginative as the pictures accompanying them. It's not just the historical recording of the media that show that David Duke's speeches have been of great importance for the growth of the nationalistic opposition in Sweden. Even the Swedish hostile prosecution office of Sweden's third largest city, Malmo, headed by a senior prosecutor, have now directed their attentions toward David Duke. Since the autumn of 2005, there's been an ongoing investigation in Malmo against David Duke for alleged, quote, incitement to hatred against a minority group. As this magazine's being published, prosecutors still haven't given any proof to support the accusations, which is not surprising, since the accusations are completely unfounded. Even the anti-Swedish individuals who claim to have spent years investigating and mapping David Duke's activities in Sweden seem to have been forced to the same conclusion despite years of painstaking effort. Nordisk Frihet has interviewed David Duke concerning the absurd case that might be awaiting him in Sweden. Absurd because anyone who's actually heard any of the speeches David Duke held in Sweden would find it hard to construe them as crimes of hate. They're rather speeches full of love for our European peoples and cultures. David, are you a speaker of hate like the prosecution office in Malmo is trying to claim? My answer, of course not. Accusing someone of hate is similar to accusing someone of witchcraft or heresy in the Middle Ages. It's a blanket term that really means nothing concrete. For instance, how is it in Sweden that if one condemns acts of white violence against aliens, it's never called hate, but if one condemns the violence of alien immigrants against Swedes, such as the now frequent phenomena of gang rape of young Swedish girls by immigrants, one is called a hate criminal? And as a note to the listener, gang rape was an almost unknown phenomena in Sweden until we've had massive immigration there. Another perfect example is that when Gentiles expose the racist, hateful forms of anti-Gentile Jewish extremism, it's called hate. But when Jews and others denounce Gentile anti-Semitic extremism, it's called courageous. You know, of course, it always is. The double standards are amazing. It's called courageous and principled. I preach an equitable, nonviolent, decent approach to the problem with an end to immigration and compensation for aliens who voluntarily return to their own homelands. That's not hatred. That's simply a desire for self-preservation, and that's nature's highest law. And again, I will add a note to it since we have the time on this program. It's certainly something that every other people on the planet are allowed to pursue. But when Europeans become concerned about our heritage and our values, it's called racist and hatred. And I think that's a perfect example of the double standards we have. She goes on to quote me, "I love my heritage. Sweden and Northern Europe is the ancestral homeland of my progenitors. I want to see them preserved as a land of our people and not become some alien country that more resembles the third world than Europe. What's the real reason that prosecutors, mainstream media, etc. would construe your speeches that way? As hate speeches," this is her. "It's obviously," I say, "because they disagree with them. It's much easier to fight an idea if you simply label it with the incendiary word hate then have to debate the fundamental issues. Again, it's the same reality as the bigots in the Middle Ages who simply screamed witch or heretic rather than debate the issues at hand, such as whether the earth was at the center of the solar system." She goes on. She says, "Through his work, David Duke gives hope and courage to all the oppressed white peoples and exposes the likes of the prosecution office in Malmo for the oppressors of the Swedish people and all other European peoples that they actually are. To assume that these people are in fact afraid of Duke is not far-fetched. David Duke agrees with this." Quote, this is me again, "I think they know that my message is supported by millions of Swedes, so they have to put a negative label or connotation on it. Yes, the only thing holding the Swedish people back from securing their freedom and heritage politically is a startling lack of courage. But we know the history of the Swedish people. Courage is in your blood, your soul and sinew, and they are afraid that I will awaken it. I pray I shall help awaken it." She goes on to say, in the speeches given by David Duke in Sweden in August last year, he actually warned of the kind of racial violence against people of European descent that was soon to become a living nightmare in both his own country and in Europe, namely the violent, mainly black riots in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina, and the violent immigration riots in France, and the immigrant riot in Sweden, where a Swedish girl was badly beaten and shot with a machine gun by an immigrant mob. She goes on to quote me, yes, when you know the truth, it's not hard to predict the future. A sun-centric heretic in the Middle Ages could certainly predict an eclipse better than some superstitious red-robed authority who believes the sun revolves around the earth. Understanding the realities of race and ethnicity enables one to be quite the prophet. People such as myself and Le Pen have been warning about what happened in France and around the world, and we were right. And my prophecy for Sweden is dire unless your great people awaken soon. She goes on to say, in her commentary, in articles on his website, www.davidduke.com, Duke made crushing comparisons between how much attention the international media gave him for being investigated for alleged hate speech in Sweden, and how none of the same international media called for charges of hate crime when a helpless, handicapped white woman was set on fire on a bus by a rioting immigrant mob in France during the riots. And she quotes me again, yes, agrees David Duke, a perfect example for those who are still capable of independent thought. If you speak about the horrors inflicted on Frenchmen by the hate-filled immigrant rioters, you'll be prosecuted as promoting racial hatred. But the burning alive of a middle-aged, handicapped white woman by an African mob brings not a single condemnation by politicians or media as a race or a hate crime. She goes on to comment, while Nordisk Friet are thanking David Duke for sharing with us his valuable time, we wanted to ask for ourselves on behalf of our readers if he's managed to rebuild his home and office in Louisiana that were damaged after Hurricane Katrina. And she quotes me, yes, and thanks, I must say, to those people in Sweden who realize that our heritage faces a worldwide problem, and thanks to those who help support my work. I hope that I've made a significant contribution to the Swedish people's fight for their heritage and freedom. That it is definitely so, something that Nordisk Frihet can certify for sure. Nordisk Frihet expresses our hope of seeing, this is their quote, I'm sorry, of seeing David back in Sweden, rightfully free of the unfounded charges that the suppressors of free speech want to make against him. She goes on to quote me, whatever, I will not stop my work. If they want to make an international case out of this, I'll come back to Sweden and fight the charges. In an earlier case, leaders of the Swedish Parliament said that even questioning the Holocaust must be allowed in a free society, as certainly it should. I certainly hope that I'll have also freedom to express my opinions on certain issues. And ladies and gentlemen, as another side note during this broadcast, I will tell you that if they do decide to prosecute me in Sweden, I would go back. It's not like Austria with a 10-year sentence, and the truth is that because of my international notoriety and my past political success in the United States, and it would be a huge case. I think it would be a black mark on the Swedish suppression of freedom. I think it would do a lot toward letting go some of the suppression and relaxing some of the suppression that exists against the Swedish people. So I'm willing to fight it. And she goes on to quote me, if I'm charged, I would also file charges before the European Court of Human Rights. The United Nations Charter, of which Sweden, of course, ratified, states clearly the right of freedom of speech and expression. Either Sweden's a free country or it's not. I believe that 99% of Swedes want it to be free. And I don't believe I can be prosecuted for speeches where I simply used intellectual argument or I condemned violence and expressed my political opinions. And that's the basic core of the article. You can read that on davidduke.com, and I hope that you are able to do so. And I know you will enjoy the piece as soon as you can. So, okay, now I want to just give a short quote on a David Irving piece, which was done by National Vanguard. They did a very good job with this, and I'm impressed, and I want to share what they wrote here. And you can find that again on National Vanguard. It's by Matthew Downing. It's We Demand Amnesty for David Irving. David Irving is a preeminent British scholar and historian, most renowned for his groundbreaking research into World War II and Soviet history. Irving is perhaps best known for his discovery of numerous original documents, many of which have been previously unexamined. His endeavors have drawn both the acclaim of fellow researchers and the ire of well-funded special interest groups. He has bravely approached sensitive and controversy-laden issues, including underreported British and American atrocities, such as World War II firebombing of Dresden, as well as the discrepancies in the media and historical portrayals of the Holocaust. His life's work has consisted of attempting to examine such issues in a broader context of the historical record, free from narrow biases, distortions, and political pressures. The circumstances leading up to Irving's arrest stem from several speeches he gave in Austria in 1989, in which he raised critical questions about some of the statistical evidence pertaining to alleged war crime, German atrocities. Under Austria's draconian laws, which criminalized such historical inquiry as, quote, Holocaust denial, a literal speech crime, a warrant was issued for Irving's arrest if he was ever to set foot on Austrian soil again. The Holocaust is unique in that it is the only event in history deemed to need such legal protection against the questions and inquiries of historians. It is actually a punishable crime in several Western nations, Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and France, among others, to raise any questions, however sincere and well-founded, about its mainstream portrayal. David Irving was arrested by Austrian police at gunpoint while en route to Vienna on personal business on November 11, 2005. He was then transferred to a maximum security prison where he was held without bail. Following his trial on February 20, 2006, to the shock of many international observers and academics, Irving was sentenced to 3 years in prison on the basis of having uttered illegal speech. Under no circumstances has Mr. Irving ever advocated, participated in, or pronounced any ethnic hatred or violence toward the Jewish community or anyone else. Yet he is treated with more severity than many dangerous criminals. Although he's a best-selling author and prominent and respected British citizen, his own government has so far done nothing to secure his release or defend his basic civil liberties. Neither have the media made Irving's case a cause celebre, as they did with Salman Rushdie, who was never even arrested or charged. In the West, the French philosopher Voltaire is widely revered for having said, quote, I do not agree with what you have had to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. This sentiment is the hallmark of any truly free and open society. Our freedoms of speech and freedom of inquiry rest upon the protection of all speech, especially that which is unpopular or considered dangerous by the powers that be. If we truly believe in freedom, it's our duty to safeguard the free speech of those individuals and institutions with which we agree and those with which we disagree. Any attempt to stifle free inquiry and rational discourse upon any subject whatever, including the Holocaust, is a move toward tyranny and suppression of fundamental civil rights. Orwellian laws, which make any form of political, historical, or religious speech, no matter how controversial, into criminal offense, have no place in a free society. The UN Declaration of Human Rights is very clear in the right to freedom of speech. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. David Irving is currently imprisoned in a maximum security penitentiary, usually reserved for violent offenders. He is serving time on the basis of an historical opinion he voiced in 1989. When a first world, supposedly democratic nation, such as Austria, imprisons and persecutes individuals on the basis of their speech, it is clear we are living in dangerous times. Laws like Austria's, which define speech as a crime, set a dangerous precedent. They threaten the freedom of everyone. Historians, whose essential task it is to question and dissect every aspect of the past in order to reach the deepest objective truth, must never be constrained from asking questions by governments, our special interest groups. Join us in expressing solidarity with Mr. Irving, demanding his freedom, and calling for an end to laws which criminalize free thought, free inquiry, and free speech. Write or call our fax, the Austrian Embassy, and demand amnesty for David Irving today. The ambassador is Eva Nowotny, PhD, 3524 International Court, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20008. And telephone number is 202-895-6700. And the fax number is 202-895-6750. We demand amnesty for David Irving. So I wanted to share with you those two pieces today, and I think they're both excellent, and I think the National Vanguard and the fine writer, Matthew Downing, did a very good job with that piece, and I hope that you'll be able to think about this as you drive or as you listen, and you will think very strongly and thoroughly about how you can aid this cause. This is not only the cause of freedom and survival of our people, it's the cause of truth. It's the cause of the most fundamental rights that you possess, the right to have an opinion and to express an opinion. And this is the deepest, the most vital of all our demographic and political and social and historical and national and personal rights. Freedom of speech and expression is the most important human right, because when that right is suppressed, what happens, ladies and gentlemen? You don't have the right to even know about other violations of rights, including where people are being murdered or imprisoned or otherwise terribly oppressed and mistreated. Freedom of speech helps us know what's really happening in the world, and freedom of speech, therefore, helps protect us from other denials of our civil liberties and even our lives themselves. And of course, freedom of speech can also help protect the life of our people, of our heritage, and we all have a right to work to preserve that value. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being with me, and I'll certainly be with you again tomorrow. We must continue to work. You are sitting at a computer. You have the whole world at your fingertips, literally at your fingertips. Use that computer. Go to discussion groups and discuss these critical issues facing all of us. Thanks, and I'll certainly be with you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.